Welcome to Inside Out Radio. My name is Mark Spies. Our show is sponsored by the brand experts at 800 Degrees. You can find us at 800degrees.com. My co-host and producer and the guy that's going to actually make this show run is Andy Lowe.
The man behind the curtain this morning. How's it going, Mark?
You can even tell by the voice he's better at this. well, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm at least here to add color commentary at the very least, so, you know.
Good, good. We've got an awesome show today. Well, on paper, it's an awesome show. We'll see how I do with this. It's going to be awesome because we've got a great guest today, and I'll get to Eric in a minute. The show overall is committed to better understanding the authenticity of brands and business in general and the changes in the marketplace that are affecting that. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the original inspiring idea that became a brand or a business in the first place. That's just not today. That's the show overall. We'll hit that from a number of different pieces. We'll talk with agency folks, brand folks on the inside of the agency, working directly for the clients, business development people, anyone who's touching the building of a brand or the building of a business. So today we've got Eric Pennington. Eric joins us from Pennington Business Development. Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Mark. Thank you. You?
Not bad. We'll see in a little bit. I say that before we got started, we've been talking a lot about getting back out there. Andy and I know each other off radio from training and that kind of thing. And this has been a long process getting back out there. So he's been giving me coaching and training tips on healing. He's been through the process. This is one of my first strong days back out on the bike training. And anyone listening is probably scratching their head going, what is he talking about? Stay tuned. I'll end up talking about cycling in every episode. So Eric, instead of reading your bio, I want you to tell us a little bit about you and about Pennington Business Development. What is Pennington Business Development?
Sure. Just earlier this year, after several years working as a director of business development and in corporate sales in a couple of different industries, had an opportunity to launch my own business, consulting with marketing services agencies, ad agencies, in regard to their business development efforts. And it was an interesting road getting there. As I mentioned, my career has been spent in two industries. Started out in corporate sales in the professional sports arena. Worked with my first job out of school was corporate sales for the Tampa Bay Rays in Major League Baseball. And moved on from there to work for the Houston Rockets in the same capacity, and then moved to Atlanta almost a decade ago to assume a sales manager role with our own Atlanta Hawks. And at some point, moved into or transitioned into the agency world, as we're fond of calling it. And from that point on, it was learning a new game. And the agency world and business development specifically within that role is a very unique animal. It's a unique beast. And I have done that for a number of agencies over the past several years, and just recently, enjoying a wonderful, really 5 years with the Jones Group, a full-service creative agency here in town, had the opportunity to move on from that to work for several agencies, and there's a real need in the marketplace within the agency sector to grow their business, to go out and find new clients, identify the most ideal prospects for them, and then help them connect. And so since this past year, it has been enjoyable and challenging going out and identifying potential prospects for agencies, consulting them on all aspects of their business development program, and then ultimately going out and sort of executing that, particularly from a lead generation standpoint.
Eric, let me jump in with a question here because I find this fascinating. So let me make sure I understand what you're saying so I ask my question right. So you work with advertising agencies, mm-hmm. the guys who are out there selling some type of system or process by which I can grow my business, yet they need help growing their business. Help me with that.
That is a that's a great question. And in fact, it's often said in the industry. And look, and I have had the privilege to work for some not smart but brilliant people that are very, very good at what they do. And as great as they are working with companies, working with big brands, both in the B2C sector and in the B2B environment, as good as they are at working with those types of companies to help them position their brand, to help them market and sell their product and grow their businesses, they often do not, and this is one of the flaws in the agency culture, they often do not turn that microscope on themselves and do the very thing for themselves that they do for their clients. And it's a struggle, and I understand why that happens, because they're so they do spend a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of expertise on doing their work for their clients. And so oftentimes business development falls through the cracks. And even when it doesn't, they tend to put a check in that box by assigning those duties to someone in the agency that's really doesn't have the experience to do it, not qualified to do it, and more importantly, is not motivated to do it. So, so it often can go neglected. And you're right. It sounds counterintuitive. It seems like something that would be built into the very fabric of the agency when in fact it's not.
When you first told me what you were doing, I thought, well, this is odd. You know, typically, when someone starts a business, they've got a trade, they're a bricklayer, they're an artist, they're a branding person, they're whatever they are, they're a designer. And then they've got to go out and sell that product or that service. Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard of someone starting a business who is a salesperson or a business development person, mm-hmm. because you're essentially selling the ability to sell.
Yes.
Which I thought was really interesting. And as you described it, it had... I thought it was interesting. It was something along the lines of there's a bit of a paradox, and I played it as you described it. I played it back, and I want you to do a better job than I'm doing in explaining it. It was mm-hmm. along the lines of I can't afford who I want, and I don't want who I can afford. Therefore, there's this opportunity out there to work with multiple agencies mm-hmm. as that senior level business development guy who they otherwise would not have access to.
Yeah.
Now, give me a better sense, or you know, give the listeners a better sense of how you got to that idea.
Absolutely. There's a challenge with the agency and specifically with agency owners and principals themselves, where they realize that business development is a very extremely critical important part of the agency. To our point a moment ago, Andy, and. But what they find out is it's very, and I think we'll probably get into this a little bit later, but it's getting more and more difficult to identify who that person is. And so that creates a fear of a full-time commitment. I mean, you're talking, aside from the normal full-time trappings of commitment. You've got culture to consider. A lot of times in a lot of these agencies, you're working, it's a smaller group. It could be 10, could be 15, could be 20 people. Culture becomes much more important, and you want to make sure that the person's going to fit into that culture, that they're going to have the skills, that they have some experience in the industry, that they know how to communicate with marketers. There are a lot of factors at play that make it very difficult sometimes and create a lot of fear on behalf of the owner to commit to someone on a full-time basis. What they really want is they want everything, like a lot of us do. They want everything, and particularly from an expertise production standpoint, what they like is, look, I want somebody who's been in my industry. I want somebody who's had success in my industry, who knows the unique nature and nuances of what we do, of how difficult it is to generate business. But I don't want to have to commit to that person full time. And these are some of the conversations actually that sort of gave birth to the idea of me moving on to start the agency, because I found that there was a market out there based on the mindset of the agency CEO, that we want someone that, again, knows our business, that can come in and generate, find out very quickly what we do, what we need to do, and generate results for us. But I don't want to have to commit to the full-time salary. I don't want to have to commit to all the financial trappings that go along with that. I don't want to have to decide if he's great for my culture or he or she's great for my culture. So I offer them the experience that they're looking for, the proven success that they're looking for, a process that they need, with really with not much risk on their part in terms of having to really attach themselves over a long period of time to that. So that's really a little bit. I don't know. Actually, I'm not sure if that's a better explanation than what you did, but that's a little bit more behind the genesis.
It's at least
of
a more passionate answer than the one I gave. All right, so I'm going to ask you a really easy question, and of course it'll be followed up with a hard one unless you give me the wrong answer.
Sure.
Has business development changed in the past few years?
Oh, my goodness, yes. That's an easy one, and that's actually, how much time do we have?
Yeah, if you had said no, we would have wrapped up.
We'd have gone off air for a few minutes and thrashed him for lying. And
I'm not sure how long we had the studio for, but that could be a while. Yes, it has changed dramatically. And really, more specifically, I would say that change really began to surface just prior to the recession, and certainly going into that and coming out of the recession, albeit very slowly, but coming out of that recession, it has become even more accentuated, the changes in business development. And by that, what I mean, and there are several reasons for that. Number one, agencies have there has never been a more turbulent time in our industry, and that has trickled down very quickly to the business development role, how it's perceived, how it's run, how it needs to be done, and how you're successful in it. There are a couple of big reasons for that. Number one, agencies are becoming so much more, and this is really because of a need to do this, become so much more specialized in what they do. It used to be that a lot of agencies really offered the same thing. I mean, you heard about digital agencies, and you hear about branding agencies, and you hear about PR firms, but a lot of them were doing a lot of the same things for a lot of the same types of clients. And what they realized was, as business became much more difficult to find, that they were going to have to do something different. They were going to have to, there was a real danger of commoditization in our industry, and our industry is anything but. And the decision became, or the, actually the question became, how do we do that? How do we better differentiate ourselves in this more complex marketplace where finding clientele is getting more and more difficult? So for the first time, back to your question, Andy, a little while ago, it forced them to begin to turn that microscope back on themselves to find out the answers to that question. And it really, their ability and success in answering that question was only equal to their ability to be honest with themselves and find out really and their to what degree they were self-aware. Much like an individual, I often describe positioning of an agency as an individual, and that it's analogous to an individual being self-aware, knowing who they are, being comfortable who they are, being comfortable in their own skin, knowing where they need to improve and how they're going to get better. Unless you know those things, you can ask all the questions and have all the meetings you want, and it doesn't matter.
But, you know, that's a rarity. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, no matter how self-aware someone is, I mean, think, I'll go to athletics for a minute. I mean, take the most elite of champions, and most of them, at best, at their best self-awareness, they still don't have the ability to fully see. It's just it's a human limitation, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why the best athletes have multiple coaches or advisors or mentors in their life, because you can only see so much, even if you have great self-awareness.
That's right. And therein lies the challenge. But you minimize the risk in that challenge if you're at least asking yourselves those questions and you're addressing those challenges. And so over time, as the market has become much more complex, conditions have become much more difficult, it was inherent upon agencies to begin to ask those questions and to find out as best they can what they were. A lot of them would consult outside help. A lot of them would just finally begin to do for themselves what they do for their clients. But it was, you know, how are we going to best position ourselves moving forward to be successful, and part of that means generating new business. And a lot of that means, who is our target market? You know, who are we? And it's actually taking a step back and saying, a lot of the things that you take for granted as a person and as an agency, you have to ask those very basic questions as a starting point. Who are we?
Yeah, I like that question. I'm glad you said that. Not just who's our target market, but who are we? Because that's really the theme that I think, you know, that we're driving here at Inside Out Radio is you got to look at who are we and reflect that out. Because you can pick a target market, and if it doesn't fit who you are, you'll never capture that market, am I right?
That's right, and actually, that's a great point. I'm glad you said that, because a lot of agencies, they want to do a certain type of work, and they want to work with a certain type of clientele. The problem with that oftentimes is it doesn't intersect with their best abilities, with their expertise. And so you have to be willing to, again, back to sort of the analogy of individual self-awareness, you have to know, not only know, but be comfortable in what you're good at, and really where you succeed, where you excel, and then identify that with the need in the marketplace, i.e. your target market. I mean, and you can slice up that the target however you would like, but it really has to flow from who you are as an agency, what you're capable of doing, where you're capable of going, what you're doing right now, and what you want to do. So a lot of this change, a lot of this self exploration, if you will, has created a real sense of uncomfortability and panic, even in the industry.
So let's assume that this agency has, either on their own or with their coaches, done this self-awareness. I've got to assume that a lot of times when they come out of that, they now recognize there's a fear of losing the business they've built. Mm. To tell a client, no, we can't do that. We're not good at that. We're really better at this. We should bring in someone else for that. Do you see that as a... does that go on every day? Is it happening more and more? Is it happening less as agencies specialize?
It is, and that's one of the most difficult things. Here's the additional challenge. If you are doing the right things internally, and you're asking yourself the right questions about your brand, about your agency, and where you are now, where you're going, and even if you answer them correctly and you're doing the right things, the challenge is following through on it and doing so consistently. The most difficult word, but the most important word that an agency can use is no.
Right.
And they don't use it enough. And the more they use it, the more value they create for themselves, as counterintuitive as that might sound. And
so I want to make sure we're clear on that. So you're like, in this case, the client says, can you do this? Mm-hmm. And the most powerful word is no.
No. And again, the reason for that is, if you keep the much like any business in any industry, you're looking for clientele and you're looking for customers. And the first thing that you say, out of instinct, when somebody asks you if you can do something, is, oh yes, if we can't do it, we'll find a way to do it.
Right.
And that is the worst thing that an agency can do, particularly now more than ever, when they're trying to really carve a niche for themselves in an area of expertise that no one else can own. And so you're not doing that, or you're not doing that as successfully as you can, if you're not willing to use the word no. And I've often said, and I tell my clients this, and the agencies where I've worked in the past have said this: you have to be willing to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And if you're not willing to do that, then you're not going to get where you want to be nearly as quick as you would like to get there.
So social media seems to be one of the things that causes a lot of this panic in the room when the classic agency is posed with the question, so do you guys do social media? Can you help us with our social media? They want to say yes. They hope there's not a follow-up question. This is actually going to circle back to business development. It seems like every time there's a large-scale innovation, and this goes way back, electricity, the phone, the internet, social media, All the experts say the world's changing, nothing's the same, everything's different. And then we find within a couple of years, we settle down, 90% of the world gets back to the way it was. I remember in 1999, some guy at, I think it was Anderson Consulting, said, we're never going to buy cars the same way. We're going to shop online, we're going to pick, it's going to be delivered to the house. And nothing has changed other than we can find a better price online. We still go to the dealership, test drive the car. We don't like to buy clothes online unless we've bought that brand before because we want to feel it, walk the aisle, and all that kind of stuff. So we tend to go back to mostly the way things are. We might get there a little bit different path with these new innovations. But it seems like, now I threw out a number, 90% gets back. It kind of seems like in that 10% is business development. That while the rest of the world gets back to normal, business development is part of that 10% that can't. It is changing with each of these innovations, whether it was the phone, the internet, social media, who knows what the next one will be. Now, that's me guessing and, you know, kind of setting you up for, no, it's not like that, or yes, it is, or here's how it is. What do you think? Do you see business development as part of that greatly impacted 10%?
That's a great question and a great way of asking that question. And yes, I would agree with that. And a lot of that, and I'll tell you the real specific to agencies, and I'm sure this is probably true with industry at large. The challenge that people have had with social media and learning what it is, how do I use it, how important is it, how much should I invest in it, both in terms of time and in money. The biggest factor or biggest benefit that I have seen with social media is that it has forced agencies to learn how to communicate with potential prospects or potential clients the way they should have always been doing it. It forced them into a conversation, if you will, that they weren't having previously. And that is sharing. Social media has provided a platform for agencies to share this expertise that's now evolving, and to do so in the most effective way. It's forced them into thinking, into sharing information, to providing help in the business development and the sales process. So as a result of that, social media has become an important part of business development. And it's highlighting the need to share expertise much sooner than people would have done it before, and to communicate that expertise. And you can't do that. And we're talking about content, and I don't want to, you know, the buzzword out there is shareable content and all of those things. But a lot of that is true until you're. Social media is not going to be an effective platform for you unless you're sharing the type of information and content that's going to resonate with your target market, with your audience, and you're not going to have that content if you don't know who you are. It sort of backs all the way up into who are you and how comfortable are you with that. But yes, social media is something that has become, it's not going away, but it does need to be kept in perspective. To your point earlier, you know, when the TV was first introduced, it was, I'm sure that people were, you know, talking about, you know, the TV and the dimensions and the hardware and this is so great, I got to have it. But then after a while, it wasn't about the TV, it was about how you're going to use the TV. It was about the advertising. And so when the conversation shifted from the TV to the actual strategy behind the advertising and assuming the TV there was as a medium, then it became much more effective, I'm sure. So the same will hold true for social media. But
and
it's
we saw that with websites, too.
Yeah.
Everybody had to have one immediately. And mm-hmm. There's a, you know, 5 to 10 year, depending on how sophisticated the organization, period, where it was just about the website. It was about the medium, not the content. And then companies settled back down and realized, okay, it is about the content. It's still about the message and how we're reaching them. To your point, it's mm-hmm. the content.
Well, social media is a unique animal, though, in the sense that it has a lot of components. And maybe you can talk about how you help companies focus in on really the biz dev side and separate those other pieces. Like I'm thinking about, you know, there's an outbound messaging piece that goes with social media. You know, there's an interactive side of social media where you can do things back and forth with your clients or your audience. And there's a customer service side I mean, this has become big. I don't know about you guys, but when I have a problem, if I'm somewhere and I have an issue with a company, an unpleasant experience, or just can't get a resolution to something, the first thing I do is tweet about it or go to their Facebook page and log my statement there,
right.
because I can get more instant response. But, of course, that has nothing to do with business development. And some of these companies are looking to one group, one person, one agency, et cetera, to manage social media. There's just too many components, it seems like, for one person to do that all. How do you address that issue?
Well, and that really speaks to one of Mark's earlier questions about how business development has really changed, and I don't think it's all that different in the agency realm as it is from other industries and big brands and otherwise. But what, and a lot of that is, again, reflected in the actual sales process. How agencies are going out and identifying and connecting with potential prospects. Social media, and you're right, there's a business development. If you think of business development as an umbrella, there are a lot of components of a successful business development program that fit underneath that umbrella. Social media is one of those factors. But you have to even look at it a little bit, take a step above that to underneath that umbrella to break it down into categories. You do have your inbound marketing now, and you have your outbound marketing. It used to be, and again, back to some of the changes, it used to be that the business development function was primarily a sales function.
Right.
And if you sat somebody on the phone or sent somebody out on the golf course, even you know, further back, and you did it enough, you were going to get business. And over the years, and particularly as of late, since the recession, during the recession, and since, that is not the way to go. And you still have to have that function. You still have to have that sales function, that outbound effort. But what it has to do, it's not as effective if you're not complementing it with, or actually supporting it with, a social media, an inbound program that has social media as part of the root of that program. That's where it fits in. So when I talk to potential clients of mine, and I'm identifying who am I going to work with and who am I not, a lot of the decisions, a lot of the factors that go into that decision making is, right now what I'm doing for them is the outbound function of that umbrella, if you will. If they don't have things to support that effort, then I'm running uphill, and it's not going to be worth my time or the agency's time. So a business development program now has to be so much more well-rounded and integrated than it ever has before. And sales is now really the sales function of that is really just complementing or capitalizing on even the efforts that you're doing with the content that Mark talked about and the way you're sharing it with the vehicle of social media and other ways of doing that. So it's become much more complex in the way that you do that and the way you view those two activities.
One thing I've seen with what the social media has done, whether it's, you know, tweets, blogs, internet forums, any aspect of the social side, there is no longer any opportunity, or what's a nice way to put it, the agencies, the companies, those selling these services and products, they can't. It has to be completely genuine, or much more genuine or authentic than it was in the past. You know, there used to be a time where it was just a consistent message. My favorite is I think it's Ivory soap, 99.44% pure. They never said pure what. They just said it was pure, which was great. And they just said it over and over. And that was enough. You just had to say the message over and over. We've transitioned through, you know, consistent message into consistent behavior. And now with social media, well, our feet are held to the fire. Because if we come out and say, this is blue, and the customers say, well, actually, my experience is that it's red, they're going to talk about it, tweet about it, write about it, blog about it, et cetera. And you can't, it has got to be an authentic message, which puts the onus back on business development to be that, you know, they're the go-between, whether marketing or product, whoever is driving that message internally. If it's not a genuinely authentic message, the onus is now on business development to say, guys, it's not going to work. And to your point, because it's well-rounded, they're seeing all sides of it. So this is a transition. Do you think that fundamentally business development has changed? Are consumers buying for the same reasons? Is it just a different way to get there? And that's, you know, we could probably spend an hour on that one, and that one may come from left field. Fundamentally, are people buying for the same reasons they were 5 years, 50 years?
No, I don't think that, well, yes and no. But I think I will say this, and this is, again, back to sort of a common thread here throughout the discussion, is how dramatically the industry and the climate from a business development perspective and an agency perspective has changed. Brand marketers are asking more and more than they ever have from their agencies. They want the same things and are buying for the same reasons they have in the past. They're looking for results. They're looking for strategic vehicles and communication. But how you get there is changing. Mm-hmm. And they want more. It's incumbent upon agencies to produce more strategic ideas, becoming more proactive about the ideas that they're bringing to the table, becoming much more creative, not from a design standpoint, but from a thinking standpoint about the way to reach their market. So, yes, ultimately they're buying for the same reason. The biggest change, though, is how you get there. And they're really from the side of the brand marketer, from the perspective of the brand marketer, that's where the value of the agency comes in. And that really speaks to your last question, too. You talk about authenticity and transparency. When you go through a process like that and you're really driving ideas and you're driving business ideas, you're not putting a check in marketing activities deliverables anymore. It's about delivering strategic ideas that are going to build business. And if you can't do that, if you're not doing that, you will be found out. And so that transparency is unavoidable. And so so they're asking for that. Marketers and brand side people are asking for that. They're demanding it. And you have to provide that to them in a different way, in a much more strategic way and proactive way than you ever did in the past. And if you can't, with the advent of social media and other technologies, they will find out. People will know.
Well, Eric, I know you've got a background in both B2C and B2B. Maybe you could speak about that difference for a minute. I mean, from a business development side, what are some of the differences in using some of these mediums, maybe like social media? There's obviously one way to interact with consumers if I'm trying to sell, you know, soap or soda or something like that, that an end user is going to pick up, versus I'm trying to sell something like I'm an agency and I'm trying to sell this advertising help. What's the difference maybe in development from that side?
Well, from looking at it from the side of the client, I'll sort of take it out of a business development context for a moment and put the brand marketer hat on. If, you know, as a brand marketer, corporate marketer, in the B2C space, your conversation around social media, for example, is one that you brought up, is much different than it is in the B2B space. Obviously, in the B2C realm, you have an opportunity to create a lot of promotions. You're talking to consumers. You're communicating with consumers, and you're doing that. And you have to go where consumers are to do that. And that's really what social media is all about, is creating communities of like-minded people that share similarities and same values that your brand offers. So in the consumer space, that could be Twitter, that could be Facebook. Most likely, it is. In a lot of cases, that's not a given. In the B2B space, however, and this is where the mistake was made, particularly early on. Oh my God, we need to throw up a Facebook page. We need to throw up a Twitter page. And in the B2B space, that's not necessarily true. In fact, the number one social platform in the B2B area is LinkedIn. And you know, it's funny because people don't really think of LinkedIn as a social platform, or they never really thought about it in those terms before. But study after study after study and research that's done confirms the same thing over and over again, that LinkedIn is the most powerful use of social media or vehicle of within the social media sphere for B2B agent, B2B firms. And to that, and that really kind of impacts the type of content that you're sharing as well. So it's much more, the B2B environment is so much more, I think, fascinating because it's so much more complex. And you're communicating with other businesses, with other marketers. And that dynamic to me is really fascinating. I've actually enjoyed, I've worked for all types, you know, the agencies that I've worked for, I've had the privilege to work for a number of different clientele and a number of industries. And I have, over the years, I have found B2B to be really, really fascinating because of the nuances and the strategy involved. And so, but it is from a social media standpoint and really, and again, from at a macro level. The social media again is just a reflection of the macro level strategy and the way that you should be doing things in general, and it's just one small way that it's executed. So you just have to look at your audience, your strategy, and determine what's best for you, and go from there. But you have to, if you take a step back in regard to social media and think of it as a community, don't think of it as, you know, I got to get a Facebook post out, or I've got to get a LinkedIn, I got to get a blog post up on LinkedIn. Think about, take a step back, take a deep breath, and find out, okay, based on what we're doing, what is the community of people? You can stop talking in terms of market, if you will, for a minute. Who is that community that identifies with what we do, with the values that we do it with? And it's going to talk among themselves about our brand and help us grow our brand.
So we're in a transition. We're pretty clear on that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of seems like we're always in a transition to some degree. I think we'll definitely be able to look back at this period and go, yeah, this was a big one. This is when everyone, to your point, mm-hmm. started blogging, tweeting, et cetera, and then settled down and realized they, you know, should have done more or less. Do you think that the agencies are keeping up with business, and are the business development, the individuals in those roles, are they on track with that transition?
That's a great question, and I would say not as well as they should be, yeah. Or not as well as they could be, and from two very big points. One is from a strategic high level point, which is that of positioning. The single biggest factor in business development success for agencies, and I think this is probably true more you look across the landscape of industry, is positioning.
Okay.
If you're not positioned well, you're not going to have a very difficult time being successful in this market. That's number one. And that's an hour discussion in and of itself. The other thing, at a more tactical level, the salespeople themselves, the business development people themselves, it used to be that sales and business development was all about relationships. That could not be further from the truth. And there's actually a book out.
You just made several people cringe because everyone thinks it's about relationships.
It is, and it's no longer about relationships. You know, and in fact, it kind of never was. It was at a certain point,
right?
But now it's much more about you're helping and you're challenging and you're educating in the sales process. You're not building relationships. The relationships are the reward for the value that you provide through the sales process and after. And so you have to challenge your, and we're going to talk about prospects because this is business development. You have to challenge your prospect as to what they're trying to do, as to what their goals are. Why are they, you want to rebrand? Why do you want to rebrand? Back to your question earlier about, oh, yes, we can do that, or right, we'll find right. a way to do it. The first question that somebody, the typical business development people will we'll get is, you know, can you do this? And their answer is yes. And so the question may be, well, we need to redesign a website. We need to rebrand ourselves. And most business development people get a big grin on their face, and they say, "Oh yeah, absolutely,
we can do that.
It's on our list of things we do. Yeah, it's on our agency fact sheet. Yeah, we can do that." When what they really should be doing is saying, "Well, wait a minute. Let's take a step back. Why do you think you need to rebrand? What is driving the decision?" And so you have to be much more. There's actually a book out I would recommend if you're in B2B sales of any kind. I would highly recommend that you check it out. It's called The Challenger Sale. It is based on the most extensive research done in sales in decades, and that's where a lot of this thinking stems from. And they identify five different profiles of business development or salespeople, not based on preconceived notions, but based on what they found in the research. There turns out to be five, you know, clearly identifiable profiles. The one that was least successful is the relationship builder. And not only that, but the more complex that the sale became, and look, when you're dealing with brand marketers about strategic marketing decisions, it becomes a pretty complex sale. And the more complex the sale became, the worse they performed. The person that was most successful was what was defined as the challenger. And this sort of turns the whole sales paradigm on its head from the way everybody always thought of how you sell. And So that's an hour or two discussion there. But
yeah, we'll have to have you back on one of our sales talk shows because I think we could definitely crack that topic.
Oh,
open
my word!
And
it'd be
awesome to explore.
It's fascinating. It's unbelievable. But again, two things. Agencies would do all the way back to your question. Agencies would do very well for themselves if they're positioned appropriately, and they have people on the front lines. You know, as the face of the agency, challenging their prospects and potential clients as to what their needs are and what their goals are.
All right, my last question for you is, there's a VP of business development listening right now, mm-hmm. wondering what the first thing he should or she should do. Now, I think it's the second thing, because it sounds like the first thing is to read The Challenger Sale.
That's right. I would agree.
What should that VP of business development do first, right now, when he waits until the show is over? What's his or hers first course of action?
Call Eric Pennington at
no. I think if I was a VP of business development and I was hearing all of this, or an agency principal, or you know what, anybody on the brand side, a corporate marketer for Fortune 100 or a startup, you have to be willing to turn a microscope on yourself, ask yourself who you are. It sounds overly simplistic, but it's very complex, very challenging to do because there's an unwillingness to do that. But you have to know who you are. You have to be willing to be uncomfortable with growth and with change and changing who you are. And being comfortable to say no. Those are some very actionable things you can do today. Some of the other things, a lot of the strategy building, that takes a little bit of time. You assemble a team, you go through a process, and that's what I actually will help clients do, help them go through a process of determining who they are, who their most appropriate target market is, what is sustainable, what's not, where you say no and where you don't. How you say yes, all of these different things. But immediately, though, it's knowing, turning the lens back on yourself, identifying who you are as an agency. Are you comfortable there, and how are you going to grow? And please, just say no.
Nancy Reagan would love that.
Yeah.
See, it all gets back to that original inspiring idea, right?
It does.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you actually used it, that would have been awesome. But
absolutely.
All right. So how should anyone listening, how should they get in touch with you? What's the best way?
Best way, you can reach me via email. It's Eric, and I spell that ERICK at ericpennington.com. com. So you can reach me there. The web address is the same, ericpennington.com, again spelled ericpennington.com. Anybody has any questions, they can go peruse the site, which is in back to one of your questions, which is in sore need of a redesign.
we can connect on LinkedIn, which B2B, yes, that's where we need to be anyway.
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn as well. They can connect with me there. So I invite anyone to peruse the website, check out the LinkedIn profile, and shoot me an email or give me a call if they have any questions or would like to learn more.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for joining us.
Mark, thank you for having me.
Once again, this is Mark Spies. This has been Inside Out Radio, brought to you by 800 Degrees. Join us each week, Thursday at 10 o'clock, and we'll continue to try to better understand how brands are being built from the inside out. And, of course, it comes back to that original inspiring idea that became a brand. Thank you.